Third hour, Darren Donican Chase live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Tonight's the Predators and Calgary Flames. 7 o'clock puck drop. Pregame at 6, everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. We appreciate Terry Crisp for sitting down at the table with us last hour. Fun conversation with him to kind of close out hour number two. And it's always a fun conversation with our next guest, Richard Deitch from The Athletic. Richard, how you doing? It's been a while.
Yeah, what's up, guys? How are you?
How's 2020 treating you?
Cold.
Yeah.
Snowy.
Yeah, I bet.
Otherwise, okay.
Has it been kind of? It's been kind of a probably. Has it been a mild winter to this point?
Yeah, for Toronto sort of purposes, it's been a mild winter. But you know, a mild winter in Toronto would be Armageddon in Nashville.
Yes, I think so.
Yes, it would.
It'd be a lot of days
shut down. The city.
Yeah. A lot of school closings.
We for years we talked to you when you lived in New York, and you wrote some stuff on The Athletic. Of course, we just celebrated the 40-year anniversary of Miracle on Ice, and just that whole conversation. I want you to go into detail. In fact, I just watched it again the other night just because, and it's a great movie, and obviously the story is. Is fantastic, but what did you learn? I guess talking about that again, reliving that.
Well, let's get specific, Richard, because one of the things you did, I saw you did a one-on-one with Ken Dryden, who
was Al Michaels,
as you kind of pointed out at the start, was not the obvious choice to be that. He's a Canadian guy. He's playing for the Montreal Canadiens, so he's not like a U.S. hero or anything, even though he's a really great analyst. I loved hearing him describe to you, Richard, the art of an upset, right? He put it into such great words, how upsets usually happen.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for, reading that and the PR hype on it here. Yeah, I mean, my thought was, everybody was going to talk to Al Michaels, and understandably so. It's the most famous call, I think, in the history of United States sports broadcasting. It'd be tough to sort of find a bigger call, a more momentous call, and then do you believe in miracles? Yes. And so, Dryden was always interesting to me just because he was the analyst on that game. I don't think a lot of people remember that. He was just coming off retirement from the Canadiens, one of the great goalies of all time. He's only 31, so pretty young guy when he did that. And the thing about Dryden was, he was not your average athlete. He had already passed the bar by the time he retired. He was taking additional bar courses during the Lake Placid Olympics. He eventually became a member of Canadian Parliament. He eventually wrote 7 books, including some bestsellers. So he's just a very interesting sort of introspective guy. And it was fascinating to hear his observations about how that came together. And, the part you're describing is his, in terms of the anatomy of an upset, he had said that, he thought he had a good perspective on him because the Canadians were a dominant team, almost like the Soviet Union was when the U.S. college kids played them. And he sort of just described this anatomy of an upset. The way to really upset a team isn't to go out and sort of blow them out. It almost never happens that way. His sort of thesis was that what you want to do is you want to stay close, but actually not necessarily have a lead until late, because you're really trying to psychologically sort of get into the minds of the dominant team, where eventually, come at least in hockey, the third period, that's when you ambush them, and then you start, you start to put them in a position that they've never been in, which is a position of playing from behind. So it was fascinating to hear him discuss that 40 years later. He'll never be obviously on a bigger broadcast than that one, and I think the reason that one sort of stands out, obviously it has to do with geopolitics and the Soviet Union, but it just, I think because we live in such polarizing times, I think people have a fond memory of a sporting event that really brought everybody together. And, I don't know if that could happen again. You're never going to have college kids beating pros again, essentially. So you might not have the similar political moment. So I think that's why that thing always stands out, is because I just don't think it can be duplicated, and certainly not in our lifetime.
Isn't it crazy? Because, obviously if you haven't done your homework, you don't remember and you don't really know the inner workings of that, to know that you know, you always think that was it. You know, that was for the gold medal. That was not. And what? Right. How different would it feel or look? Or, I mean, that is, you know, maybe the greatest upset ever. But yet, if you don't follow it up and finish it, nobody remembers the follow-up game. Nobody remembers the gold medal. Everybody remembers that game. But what would that have done to their legacy if they would have gone out there, you know, and laid an egg and lost to Finland?
Yeah, great point. And the other thing, too, is, and this is just the reality of the situation, if the movie Miracle wasn't made, I don't know how many people under the age of 30, 35 would even have any connection to it. I think so many people who are of a certain age now connect to that moment simply because of the Kurt Russell film. You know, they're able to sort of live vicariously if you weren't alive through that. So I think that's another it's a very good film. I think that's just another reason why that moment sort of continues to serve as something in the United States just because of that film. But yeah, I mean, the story changes irrevocably if they don't beat Finland in the, you know, what turns out to be the gold medal game. And I think, and maybe Willie is a hockey guy who checked that, if they tied Finland, Russia would have ended up winning with more points. So could you imagine that? Imagine that game ends in a tie and you get the silver medal after beating the Russians.
Yeah, I mean, that would Richard, I didn't. You had kind of a footnote in your thing. I know that was something, and this is what I love about when we go back through this. You learn things you didn't know before, that Al Michaels and Ken Dryden, after the 5 o'clock start, the first game of the doubleheader, U.S. versus USSR, they have to do the other semifinal, the anticlimactic, at least in the States, Sweden versus Finland.
Right.
And that was a tie. I thought somebody had to win. That ended up in a tie. And so Finland plays after tying Sweden, I guess, what, the day before or 2 days before? Weird.
Yeah, the way that particular tournament sort of had points was very odd. There wasn't, I mean, somebody could obviously correct me if I'm wrong on this, but there wasn't sudden death. I don't think it was, you know, those games could end in ties. It was sort
right.
of based on a point system. I don't know what the tiebreaker was, but yeah, totally. I mean, it could have, you know, I mean, imagine like the U.S. tied the Soviets and like how you would think of that. Wouldn't exactly be a miracle.
Crazy.
You
know, yeah, I mean, that could have been very possible. And like Finland.
Listen, if the game is so great to watch, and I would suggest anybody watch it for the first time or rewatch it again. But, you know, there were moments late in that game that Russians were very close to tying in, including I think they hit a post fairly late. You know, the one thing I would recommend for your audience, if they've never seen it, just because it's so fascinating to me, is there's a 30 for 30 that actually ESPN just recently played that has the game from the Soviet perspective, and it really centers around Slava Fetisov going back to Lake Placid and sort of reliving it. I think it's called The Miracles of Men. I think that's what it's called. But that, and there's also a movie, Red Army, on this. But that to me, actually, is even more interesting than the U.S., players and their story, because I'm totally fascinated just by how the sort of Soviet Union approached that game and then what it ultimately meant after they lost. And it actually meant a lot more gold medals, but their perspective on losing is really, really fascinating. And then of course, you know, 10 years later, everything opens up. Russian players are allowed to play in the NHL, and look where we are now in 2020 with a Russian born player taking aim at Wayne Gretzky's goal-scoring record.
It was Of Miracles and Men, I believe, is what it was. I was just watching it the other night.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah,
it's very good. Richard, one other footnote as a person who can appreciate play-by-play, Al Michaels said this. I had no idea, and I don't know if you interviewed him or this was something you picked up for another interview, but he said that because it was not a state-of-the-art broadcast situation in terms of the booth or anything like that. They're sort of amongst the crowd. The noise level is crazy. And Al Michaels is saying for some reason, some switch got pulled and he's hearing all the talk amongst the TV producers in the truck. Imagine trying to have any kind of conversation with somebody talking in your ear. And so he's doing that down the stretch of this amazing game and he's trying to keep the concentration. That's the greatness of a play-by-play guy right there.
Yeah, I mean, insane, and that is true. I think they pressed some kind of all-call key, and so supposedly in his ear he was hearing everything. which again sort of gives you some more perspective and context on just how great a call that is. Again, another thing, if you're sort of a broadcasting nerd, that just is like inconceivable in 2020. The way they did that hockey tournament is they would like pop into the tournament between like a large 3-hour block on ABC. So like Michaels and Dryden had to call the games, but a lot of their game, a lot of what they called, we never saw. It'd be like Jim McKay going, okay, let's go to the Olympic Arena. It's the second period. The United States leads Czech Republic 4-2. Let's pick up Al Michaels and Ken Dryden on the call. And then they just go to him. And then if ABC had to go to commercial, they just go to commercial during hockey play. I mean, it's sort of just insane to think about like what and how they were calling that game. And I don't think, and again, some historian can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think ABC played the entire Russia game either. I think they played, you know, the majority of it. But there was absolutely live play in the U.S.-Russia game that was not shown live to the American audience, even though it was on tape. So it was not shown live on tape delay to the American audience. And again, just in 2020, I mean, could you imagine, like, the public, like, sort of, like, having to deal with not seeing an entire sort of full game? It's like, all right, oh, we're not going to show the second quarter of the Titans game. We'll be back to
yeah,
pick
we're
going to
switch
it
away while this third down and eight is going on the 10-yard line. It's unbelievable
people
to think about
freak
that.
Out.
It's a third. It's a third and eight, but we're going to head to curling for a couple minutes. We'll be back.
All right. Richard, what's it been like, the media fallout in Toronto in the wake of the David Ayers story? Because, you know, a guy from Toronto beats the Maple Leafs. It'd be an amazing story if he had played for the Maple Leafs. But because he's playing against the Maple Leafs, I understand it's been a really interesting, odd dynamic up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a combination of when you celebrate like this amazing kind of Disney story, and this guy coming in and getting a win. I mean, it's a sort of a once in a lifetime thing, first emergency goalie to get a win. At the same time, you know, you're also the team that lost to an emergency goalie. So, there's a lot of columnists and sports talk people sort of, you know, who also killed the Leafs as well. What they're really helped by, honestly, is they played one of the best games of the year after that by beating the Lightning, holding on 4-3. So the Ayers thing does feel like, a couple of weeks ago, even though I know it was only a couple of days ago, because they did have the win against the Lightning. And then tonight, I think, if I'm right, they play the Panthers, which is that's essentially the team they are competing against for that final spot in their division. So the you may sort of get a little bit of the air stuff again if somehow they lose to the Panthers badly. But if they win, I think their response to this becomes more of the story as opposed to them losing to an emergency goalie.
Richard Deitch is with us from The Athletic. And, you know, a story that I think all of us are following, where's Tony Romo going to go? He's a free agent. Is he going to stay with CBS? Is he going to go to ESPN? What will Monday Night Football look like for ESPN? What's the latest that you're hearing on the Romo front?
Well, I think the decision's coming pretty soon. CBS has an exclusive window to negotiate with him. That window exists now, and I'm sure those negotiations are happening. So I think within the next couple of weeks, you will hear from the Romo camp, or you will hear from the winning camp, or the losing camp will leak, which is often what happens, the result of this. I've sort of been all along on the record saying I think Tony's going to stay with CBS. I realize money talks, and I have no doubt ESPN may even offer him more money than CBS ultimately does. But I think given the CBS schedule, given that Romo has a great relationships with the producer of that broadcast, with Jim Nantz, given that I think there's a comfort level for Romo in terms of he knows what he's dealing with in terms of that crew, and I think that's a better job, personally. I just think the games are better on CBS, the schedule's better on CBS, and when you work for CBS, you don't have to like do SportsCenter, and you don't have to do this other stuff. So I think if the money is close, and I would expect it to be, I think CBS retains Romo. And then the big question is, if that happens, what is ESPN's plan B? Because I think plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D is to put Tony Romo as your analyst and just put somebody as the play-by-play person. If it's not Romo, man, I don't think ESPN wants to return to McFarland and Tessitore, but that they may not have many more options.
One more on my end. A few weeks ago, the Daytona 500 happened, and they had to move it to Monday. We know what happened with Ryan Newman and that crash at the end. I know it's a tough situation for Fox Sports to be in because you don't know. You don't have the information. You don't know what exactly happened. We saw the crash. We all feared the worst. Ryan Newman is, of course, now okay. But what were your thoughts on how Fox handled the end of that broadcast with the Ryan Newman situation?
Yeah, listen, I know people, you know, you can't win if you're Fox, like, in that situation, to be honest.
Right.
Because there are people who are like, why are you not telling me more about the crash? Why are you not re-showing me the last lap? And then there are always going to be others who say, do not show me this. This is awful. You're just, you're taking advantage of the situation. You're being exploited. There's, like, no winning solution for Fox. This is just my personal take. It doesn't mean I'm right. It's a totally subjective viewpoint. I think you're ultimately sort of showing news, in my opinion. So I think you have to show what happens.
Well, we lost Richard.
We just lost him. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think he was wrapping up anyway. Good stuff from Richard Deitch from The Athletic.
Go read it. I would like to have heard the rest of that.
I know, me too.
Yeah. We may have him back. Just one second. Although that did not sound good. That sounded like a zap, like the phone just ran out of
batteries. Battery ran out.
Yeah, like you got zapped as in. Plug me in and charge me.
Well, we heard a few beeps. You know, you hear the beeps. Beeps are never good. But no, it's good, yeah, because we talked to Jamie Little, you know, right after, mm-hmm. So I was just curious of his thoughts.
It was very interesting to get her perspective.
Yeah.
Right after that. That was really good. I don't think we're going to have Richard back. So
we're in a four-corner stall.
Let's just say thanks. It's always good to catch up with
thanks,
Richard.
Thanks, Richard.
Got a lot of good stuff in there.
We will come back with more here live from Pete and Terry's Tavern on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock.
Love Elliot Friedman.
Yep, no doubt about it. So we did get Willie to weigh in. So we're going to hit him stone cold.
Oh, hit me. Hit
Willie
me.
Willie, weigh in.
With a little wrestling reference.
I'm going to say buck 40. I don't know. Tell him to weigh in.
A buck 40?
I don't know. I'm bad at
Chase,
this game.
Chase, my goodness. You think Willie weighs a buck 40? 180? Dude, he's 6'4".
6'3".
Whatever. He'd be a number two pencil.
Look, it didn't work. Move on. It worked the other day. It didn't work today.
Just keep adding 20 pounds.
Now, when I was 16, I think you're pretty close. Yeah.
Boy, good thing the fair didn't
hire
you to guess people's weight.
I meant to say.
Sorry, we're out of prizes, folks.
All right, well, curb your enthusiasm. Yeah, you know, that guy had a big role.
Buck 40. Yeah. What's wrong with me?
Remember the guy guessed the weight?
Buck 40.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
You're welcome.
Chase could not be the pilot on the plane that has to make sure he estimates everybody's weight so the plane's not too heavy. You don't have an unscheduled landing. That's what happened to Larry David and his crew
going
to the wedding. Remember?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Not going to tell you my weight.
40.
Not going to tell you my weight. It's a private matter.
Sorry, folks. Gave away all the prizes.
Oh, man.
Chase.
Don't get me started on that show.
Look, you've done so good today, and then you...
I've done good this week.
You have. I mean, and then you just...
Look.
Soaring off the rails.
It's okay. You know, every now and then you're going to strike out, and I struck out.
140.
It's just getting me...
Your dog weighs 140.
Yeah, look, striking out. It's getting me ready for the weekend, so we're good.
What?
Oh.
And I'm back. Well done.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm back. Come on, Nashville. Let's go. What you got for me? Let's go. Let's go, Twitter.
How do we recover?
No one owns Chase better than Chase.
Chase could make a great character on that show.
One of my friends texted me one time when I did that on the show. Like, dude, don't hate on yourself like that. I mean, you're a good person. It's a joke.
What
it's
does that have to do with anything?
Like, what does that pump yourself up, not bring yourself down. Okay. Like, it's funny.
It's endearing.
The audience loves it. They eat it up.
We do too, by the way.
Oh, I know.
I don't really know this before I ask Willie the question.
The Stone Cold.
I really don't. I love the show. We talk about it all the time. But What's the living arrangement? I don't understand Larry, the guy living in Larry's house. I mean,
Leon.
Thank you.
Adam wants to weigh in.
Oh, Adam Vingan has popped in.
He lives in the guest house.
Adam just ran over here. I've never seen Adam Vingan move.
He's a big fan of the show. We talk about the show.
I'm a big fan of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, we all are, but I don't know that. Like, I've missed the whole, how did Leon appear in Larry's house?
So if I recall correctly, in one of the middle seasons, when Larry and Cheryl were still married, they invited Leon's family, which was displaced by a hurricane, to live in their house. The issue is Leon already lived in Los Angeles and just decided to move in anyway, even though it was just like his extended family that was from somewhere else moved in with Larry and Cheryl. He just moved in with them, and when they moved out, he just stayed.
Okay.
I missed that whole
area of the show somehow.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Leon's got a potty mouth. There's no doubt about that.
Leon's family, by the way, was very funny too. They're not they don't appear on the show regularly anymore like Leon.
But. No.
I need to get caught up on. I haven't watched the show in a long time. I mean,
it's easy.
Willie admitted that he finally saw the latest episodes.
The surprise, the dramatic
ending, which is always funny.
Well,
this is where
Chase in, because they always come up with these secondary characters. Like Vince Vaughn is appearing now, not as himself. Sometimes somebody appears as himself.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
Or herself. Jerry Seinfeld's been on as Jerry Seinfeld.
Exactly. But Vince Vaughn is not himself. He's just some guy.
He's Funkhauser's brother. He's playing Freddie Funkhauser.
And Ted Danson.
Yes, Ted Danson plays himself on the
show. He's himself.
Richard Lewis plays himself.
Richard Lewis plays himself
on the show.
But Chase could, I think, work in as a secondary character. I think he'd fit right in with that.
Work at Mocha Joe's?
Could work at maybe Latte Larry's next door. You could be the nice guy that
I've always wanted the Spite store.
With the one-liners?
Yeah. Yeah. But just something quirky about yourself. You could play yourself.
I could. That'd be something.
Mocha Jill.
Oh, there's material. There's a ton of material.
Maybe I wouldn't strike out as much. Be good. I'm on a TV show.
This week's episode was great with Fred Armisen playing the gentleman with the walker and the and the handicapped parking decal.
Like what a strange request. Like, so you're going out of town, can't borrow your handicap
and
sticker?
They were very excited, Leon and Larry.
Oh, yeah.
Very excited.
They went and parked everywhere.
Yes.
Well, remember, there was a real-life story about that. The UCLA football team got in trouble years ago. They somehow commandeered a number of these passes and were parking all over campus with these on, and people figured out, these are the football players. They got punished pretty as you should if you pull that stunt.
Yes.
As convenient as that might be to own one of those.
Yeah. I'm being told on Twitter from Ryan, season 6, I guess, is...
The Hurricane?
Is with Leon. That's the one I need to go back. And okay. I guess I didn't see much of season 6. Or I didn't see the proper episodes. I'll have to go back.
Yes.
And, that's the beauty of that show. You don't have to see.
I know. I don't know.
Yes, the beauty of the show, as Willie is saying, is that
you can jump in, jump out.
It does not require
you to watch it. That is the cool thing about it. Yeah, it's a very good
point. I've been wanting to binge watch another show, and I've been going around and watching like a couple episodes of shows that are either new or I haven't seen, and I can't find one to get into and just like keep going because. I'm one of those, when I get ready to wind down and I'm done with sports for the day, I'll watch like 3 episodes or something.
I find this is another phenomenon of, you know, HBO Go or Netflix or these things. Some shows are very easy to binge watch where you're you will put aside things that you're supposed to be doing to watch the next episode.
Like we did that with Stranger Things.
I'm in.
We just kept hitting, waiting for three seconds, next episode.
You look at the clock, it's 2:30 in the morning. Yeah. What am I doing? I got to watch the next one.
Yeah. But
Curb Your Enthusiasm, I find, is not a show like that. You watch 2 or 3 maybe, but then you put it aside for a while.
Because
it's the same thing.
Right, because it's not waiting for, what happened.
Oh, what happens? They have a left beat cliffhanger.
Like Nashville, when if you were into the show Nashville when it was out, I mean, you wanted to, because it kept playing off.
Is it gone now?
It is gone. Yeah. It's playing off the previous episode.
I watched Nashville.
It is available.
I moved to Nashville.
Yeah.
So really? Like a lot of my preconceived notions about Nashville were formulated by watching Nashville.
Look, we can laugh, but there are people that moved here because of that show.
I can. You say can laugh. I did not
you can
move
laugh
here because
I,
of.
Nashville. I watched one episode.
Pull that mic so people can hear.
Sorry,
act like you've
sorry.
Done the show before.
I watched the first episode of Nashville, and you know we were talking about this yesterday. My connection to the Loveless Cafe, my family's connection. Mm-hmm. And in the very first episode, I forget her name, the one of the main characters is like, yeah, well, you know, we were all down at the Loveless. I'm like, we don't say that. Like, we don't walk around and talk about, yeah, we went to the Loveless.
They made some errors in that area.
I remember watching back the first or second episode of Nashville a few years after I had moved here, and they did a lot of aerial shots of Nashville. And just looking at it
a little back, different now.
Looking at it back then. Like, I think they did an aerial shot of where my first apartment building, like, above where my first apartment was in Nashville, and it wasn't even there
yet. I was
going
to say, it was just a lot.
Yeah, it was just a lot. So
This giant building behind us, the Music City Center, was it there when they first started filming Nashville?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. That would be a no.
Chase,
no,
I recommend to you one show that, speaking of HBO, one show that I have been going back and watching, I've watched it several times, but one show I've been going back and watching on HBO is The Wire.
Okay.
I've never watched The Wire.
I've been wanting.
I have not seen
so
that.
Badly got HBO, to get into The Wire, and I haven't. But I know I'll like it.
And before that, it was The Sopranos, which I've also watched several
times. I like The Sopranos.
So
I've been watching McMillions on HBO.
That's a good one.
That's great.
It's a good one.
The FBI agent, I don't remember his name, but the one with the thick accent, he's hilarious.
Southern guy, yeah, he's good.
So, real quick.
More
last week, John Hines.
Oh, you're going to actually ask him a hockey question now.
I thought we were talking more about Larry David.
Well, but this is a little bit off the beaten path, too, that really hasn't got much run here.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Mike Vrabel in Bridgestone Arena on Saturday night versus Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Vrabel was also in Bridgestone Arena last week talking to the team. That's something that really Peter Laviolette was not willing to embrace, stuff like that. In the short amount of time John Hines has been here, he's already brought in the Titans head coach to kind of talk to the team. What do you make of that?
It was interesting. We first learned of that when Ryan Ellis returned to practice fully. Last week, he mentioned, in just as part of another answer, that the Titans coach came and talked to them, and afterwards I clarified which Titans coach, because there are multiple, and he clarified that it was Vrabel, and then I later found out that Mike Vrabel addressed the group. It was last Wednesday. John Robinson was also present, though I don't believe he addressed the group. I think he was just there to take it all in. But it is interesting to see how different coaches go about having their message or other people's messages, transmitted to their players. As you mentioned, Peter Laviolette liked being the sole message provider, for lack of a better term. John Hines has already reached out to Mike Vrabel and had him come and speak to the group, which I think is a good thing. I think it's important for athletes to see how sports work, other sports work, because there are a lot. Of course, there are differences, but there are a lot of similarities in between how certain athletes go about doing their business in different sports. So I think it was a good perspective for the Predators to hear from Mike Vrabel. Now, I'm not exactly sure what he said to the team, but my sense is that they enjoyed it. I mean, Mike Vrabel is a captivating speaker. He's an intense individual. I'd be curious to ask John Hines more about that, actually, about how he goes about wanting to make sure that his messages are being heard loud and clear, but also opening the door for others to express themselves to the group as well.
If you think about it, I have no idea what was behind John Hines' motivation or what he thought, but I think the path of the Titans season, going 2-4, 5-5, right on the brink of, hey, is this going anywhere? You know, I thought they were going to be better, all of this, and then peaking at the right time. That is something that the Predators are trying to capture here, right? I can see John Hines saying, well, let's talk to the Titans coach about how they got through it when it looked like there was a lot of doubt about whether they could accomplish anything. Well, I can see that.
And Roman Josi, when the Titans were playing in the AFC title game, I actually asked Roman Josi about the similarities between this Titans team and the 16-17 team, and he said there are a ton of similarities, and he goes, I would even say there are similarities now with you know how their season went and how our season's going, that these two teams relate to one another just of all the adversity and things that they've been going through. So that's a very good point, Willie.
Adam, good to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Hi, Adam.
Thanks for letting me talk about Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we'll talk about another show. Maybe The Simpsons.
We've done a lot of athletic people here at this third hour. Richard Deitch and Adam Vinkin. That's where you can find Adam's work.
Subscribe now.
When we come back, we're going to actually tell you that there may have been a reason why Jerry Helper was in here after Terry Crisp came and did our show. He just got a really cool announcement out to him after he left here.
So we'll you didn't you, know that when
no,
he came up here? Okay.
No.
Okay. I assume I wasn't sure.
We
so
did not know.
I was going to ask you off air.
No.
Never assume.
Yeah. So we are going to tell you what happened to Terry Crisp after his delightful sit down with us. He got rewarded with a really cool thing, and we'll do that on the other side. But first, Willie, you're going to tell us about Lee Company.
Well, let me do just that. Lee Company is a great sponsor of the Nashville Predators, and our coverage of them on 102.5 The Game, they do so many great things, including the home maintenance plan that I'm telling you about all the time on the show because I really believe in it. I am not one that is going to think every spring, hey, I need to make the call to get my air conditioning unit checked, even though that would be smart. Sometimes I'm not always that smart. But when you're on the home maintenance plan, for Lee Company, they'll do that for you. They will take the initiative and call you every spring before the weather gets warm and you need to run that air conditioner every day, and they'll make an appointment with you to come out and check just to make sure everything's running efficiently. They do the same thing for your heating unit in the fall when the weather starts to get colder, and while they're at it, they're going to have appointments for you with your plumbing and electric systems. You stay on top of things. I need that badly for my home. And I think there's a lot of you out there can say, you know what, I'm the same way. Get on that home maintenance plan. You're going to save money in the long haul if you're on it. I promise you. 567-1000, area code 615. That's 615-567-1000. Or go to LeeCompany.com, and you can make an online appointment. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators.
Darren Donovan Chase live from Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators and Calgary Flames meeting tonight. A huge game. 2 points on the line. Of course, we're here all day. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick hanging out with you. It is lunchtime, so that's very important. You can come into Pete and Terry's Tavern. Their food is excellent. I think between the three of us, we've now tried just about everything on the menu.
We're experts.
We are. You have changed.
I
it
actually
up
have not tried the dish that you get so much.
The beef on weck? You haven't?
Nope.
I thought you did have it one day.
To me, that's not a must. You got to try that.
I got to do that.
Yeah, you got to do
that. I'm surprised. I am very surprised. So, again, the Predators and the Flames will meet later on tonight for two big points. We had Terry Crispin here earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And there's news.
Do you know what happened to Terry after he left here that we didn't know anything about?
Wait, hold on. What time did you have Terry on?
11:30.
So it had already happened then.
And we just
happened?
It had just happened when you had him up.
Well,
which
I
is why I
any,
thought you
I
guys
didn't see anything
were doing
out there until afterwards.
There wasn't right. anything out there. You guys could have got a scoop.
I know. Well, how would we know that?
He's too humble to.
He didn't even tell us. He said we talked to him before the interview and after the interview, and he never said a word.
Oh, man. Well, tell people what's going on.
Well, very cool honor. We had Tony Delk on the show recently. He's being inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame for 2020. We know Jeff Fisher has also been named on that list to be inducted in 2020 into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. And now you can add the Zen of Terry Crisp.
Terrence Arthur Crisp.
Crispy is also going to be inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. So what an honor, and how cool is that, that that took place? And you're saying it took place right before he came here to talk with us. Well, there was no way of us knowing unless he would have told us, and he didn't tell us.
Yeah, he didn't even bring it up.
It's a huge coincidence that he happened to be coming on the show, because I assumed, because I witnessed what happened. It was a surprise in our production meeting for our broadcast tonight on Fox Sports Tennessee, unbeknownst to Crispy. We created a deal where we mic'd some people up with the disguise. We were disguising.
Like, he didn't know, but you guys knew.
Right. But the idea was, hey, we're just going to film the meeting and show how the brainstorming happens.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to him, it's really just so we can film this moment. So Pete Weber orchestrates from behind the scenes, a camera person that comes in. And so Pete comes in the middle of the meeting with the cameraman, and they make the announcement with Brad Willis, who is now heading up on the committee, the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame.
He came all the way from the Sports Hall of Fame?
All the way. He did, all the
way
over from this.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, attached to this building.
Out of breath.
So he was the official deliverer of the message. So Crispy was very unusually speechless. He really didn't know what to say, but that was he was very honored, very moved by that. I can't believe he didn't give it away. Like, he was too humble to tell you guys.
I mean, that's true, but you're our partner. Where was our tip? I mean, come on.
I was going to tell you as soon as I got back up here. I didn't know you were having a... I didn't know he was coming on the show.
You didn't?
No.
Oh.
Well, that actually may be true.
That's a good alibi. That's a really good alibi.
You know,
where were you?
There's
at 11:30 on Thursday. I didn't know he was coming on. Oh, okay.
There's a chance that he may not have known that.
Next, bring in who's out there. Bring in who's next. Cross him off the list. He didn't do it. Where were you? I was at work. Here's my time card. Okay, next. Well done.
So good for Crispy.
Yes, congratulations.
Congratulations to him. Well deserved.
One of the best, honestly, you know, part of his sports background as a player and a coach, that's going to be in the backdrop. But you think about the impact he and Pete have had on this community of hockey, just the ambassadors, number one, number two ambassadors, 1 and 1A, hockey ambassadors for the city of Nashville. I mean, that's what it's all about, right?
No doubt. We're going to come back and close out hour number three, and I am going to finally get to what I told you.
You were going to hit me stone cold, but now it's not stone cold anymore. I'm ready now. My guard is up.
But I want you to think about it.
Okay.
Because we were talking about, you know, Jeff Darlington has been all over it again today. I mean, he is doubling down. Like Tom Brady, you know, he will be stunned if – now the new one is he's going to be stunned if he goes back to the Patriots.
Ooh.
So if he came here, we know it would be – I don't think there's any really – any doubt, any question, is of all the great, and that's what we were doing earlier. We've been naming a lot of headliner stories when it comes to kind of transactions. You know, the death of Steve McNair, we leave that. That's not what we're looking for. We're talking about P.K. Subban for Shea Weber, Eddie George to the Dallas Cowboys. These were some, to name a few.
Okay.
I don't want to steal them all.
Okay.
Okay. But we were just throwing out big headlines. Paul Kariya. That was a thing that we got into with Crispy. Paul Kariya choosing to come here and play for the Predators. That Tom Brady, if we woke up in 2 weeks and the headline was Tom Brady is signing with the Titans and 2+ decades of professional sports in this market, it would be the biggest story we've had. It would be number one. It would be the biggest. We talked about if Peyton Manning would have chose the Titans on his courtesy visit, which we know that there was no chance he was going to do it, that would have been the biggest and still would be today. But some big headline stories that have happened in 20-plus years of hockey and football in this market, what are some that stood out to you at the top of those headlines? I want you to think about that during the break. But right now I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. And they have over 18,000 satisfied homeowners. I'm a homeowner, and I know there's a lot of you out there listening that are too. And maybe you've noticed bricks that are cracking on your house or walls bowing, or you've been opening and closing doors or windows, you've noticed that they're sticking, drywall separating, stair step cracks in masonry, mortar joints, a chimney maybe that's tilting or leaning, all these are signs that something may be going on with your house. Maybe your house is trying to tell you something. And if something like that is going on, well, you need to get the experts out. And that's where USS comes into play. They will come out and give you a free estimate. Yes, a free estimate. And they're going to identify the problem and tell you how they can fix it. They believe in their quality of work. They believe in their reputation. They believe in integrity of their work. These are all things attached to the good folks at USS. Plus, they're locally owned and licensed and insured. As a homeowner, that should have you perk up. I know I did. You can call them by dialing this number, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. That's how you get them out to your house. Or you can go to their website, usstn.com. That's usstn.com. As they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS.
I'm just going to give you the floor here on all of this because you're as close to the situation as practically anybody could be, and I know you have some really informed opinions.
I feel like we need to have a talk here because no matter how many times we say that Tom Brady is likely to not play for the Patriots next year, I either get blasted or told that I am wrong. That makes sense because we cannot wrap our heads around it. There are people very close to Tom Brady who are being told by Tom Brady, it's not going to happen. Like, I'm going somewhere else. Like, that's the way that we're operating here within those circles. And yet even those people don't necessarily believe that Tom, at the end of the day, won't go into Bill Belichick's office and Belichick won't sit there and say to him, Tom, we need you back. We have to have you back. And that Tom Brady will return to the Patriots. We need to wrap our minds around the fact that it is far more likely than not that Tom Brady will not be back with the Patriots. I am now at the point where I would be stunned if Tom Brady returns to the Patriots.
That is this morning, Jeff Darlington doubling down on ESPN's Get Up. Pretty strong words from Jeff Darlington.
Who is Jeff Darlington? Just for people that don't know.
He's an NFL reporter. He used to cover the Dolphins. He was the beat writer for them for many, many years from the Miami Herald. And now he's an NFL reporter for ESPN.
Okay. I mean, just I didn't know if he was – some people may not know if he's an agent or a former agent or just a writer. Just a, how does he know the inside workings of Tom Brady?
Guy who's been covering the league for a long time, has climbed up the ranks and at ESPN.
And so now he's he would be stunned.
He's one of their lead guys. How about that?
He would be stunned. Well, it's been interesting that a guy like Adam Schefter has been referencing Jeff Darlington, right?
Yes.
That gives that guy some street cred.
So, if that were to happen, we said it would be the biggest sports story in this market. Since you were not privy to the conversation that we had, pretty lengthy conversation, we got text messages, tweets, people calling in, so people have also added to the list. And so I'm going to ask you, what do you think some of the bigger sports stories that we've endured the last 20-plus years in this market? Where would you start? I threw out a couple, but I didn't want to ruin it by throwing out too many.
Like bombshell sports, you know, yes. Headlines. Not games.
No.
Just, you know, not, trades.
Not the death of Steve McNair,
stories.
Not games.
Yeah.
But just a sports story that grabbed massive headlines in this market.
So you mentioned Paul Kariya. Mm-hmm. That's a big one, signing as a free agent with the Predators, who had never signed anybody close to that in terms of star power. Another year or two later, when they traded for Peter Forsberg, that was big.
That was
a huge one. I would say at the time, before we were a major league city, one of the big ones in the years leading up was, that I can remember just because of the impact it had at the time, was Eddie Fogler, the National Coach of the Year, who had just led Vanderbilt to a SEC regular season title, Sweet 16, was going to have a really talented team coming back, walking to South Carolina in the manner that it happened, where it was pretty documented that Vanderbilt did not lift a finger to try and keep him. I thought that was a very controversial big story at the time.
Yeah, I've tried to. That's why I bring up the last 2 decades.
And it would be hard for somebody, like, if that happened today, in the landscape of us being an NFL city, an NHL city, a lot more going on. But back then, there was a lot less happening.
Right. I mean, you could bring up the Ron Mercer. That was huge. But that was back before professional sports, before football. Yeah. The NFL and the NHL were in this market. So things were looked at and covered differently. I'm trying to do it in the last 20-plus years of NFL, NHL. That's why, because I know there's Vanderbilt stories
that
we've certainly
20-plus, so that was 20-plus years.
Okay, now I'm saying NFL, NHL, since they've been in this market.
Other ones that I can think of, I mean, other than the ones that you mentioned there,
it's hard, and it's hard to figure out what's number one.
Well, when you think of something as big as Tom Brady just simply not playing for the Patriots, that's what they were saying. I mean, forget about who he ended up playing for. If he's just playing for somebody other than the Patriots, that's a giant national story. So automatically, if he ends up signing here, that would be you could put two and two together there, how big that would be in terms of how much attention that would bring.
So some of the other ones that were brought up, Randy Moss in 2010.
Yep. That was
still a big deal. It was Randy Moss. And so it was a big deal. It's not going to be number one, but it belongs in the conversation. That was a big deal back then, even though that season went nowhere. But at the time when they signed him, they were 5-3. So they were 5-3, and the wheels came off, ironically, after they signed him. But at the time, they were 5-3, and that was a big deal. It was. Certainly P.K. Subban, Shea Weber.
Yeah, you mentioned that
Ryan Johansson, Seth Jones. That was a big deal. Barry Trotz out after 16 years was a headline grabber.
Oh, yeah.
Huge deal.
But none of these are in the same stratosphere as Tom Brady.
That's the point. The point is that would be, if this were to happen, and Jeff
Derwin.
Although,
Subban for Weber, that was in the hockey world. That was a bombshell in the hockey world.
Well, I mean, it's hard to think of number one now today, but I think we both leaned toward it would be P.K. Subban for Shea Weber as today. Eddie George to Dallas, at the time when that happened, that was a big. Because if you remember, we went to Dallas a lot. We talked to people who covers the Cowboys, and they did not believe for a minute Eddie George was going to the Cowboys. They refused to believe it, and then it was a bombshell when it happened. And it was a big deal here and a big deal there. That was way up there at the time. I mean, just the way Eddie George was revered here and how big he is in the sports landscape of this market. That was a headline grabber. That was a massive deal.
Sure.
So that's in there, too, at the very top. But I'd probably still give a slight lean toward the straight-up PK for Shea Weber.
I would, too. That was my answer, was Shea Weber, PK Subban.
But it's interesting. That's what if that were to actually happen, if Jeff Darlington is true and he actually does not go back, and let's just say it happens to be here, how massive that's going to be for this market. That's why we've been talking about it for weeks on end. We will come back and kick things off with Elliot Freeman to start the fourth and final hour. That's next.